Time for us to talk motoring. Time for us to talk about what is the state of the new vehicle sales in South Africa. The March 2024 numbers are out. And we're also going to find out about the Ford Everest Platinum, which Kumbi has been driving. And so joining us this morning is our resident motoring enthusiast, Kumbi Mchakazi. Kumbi, as always, it's wonderful to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning to you and the listeners, Googs.
Mm-hmm. So what do the numbers, and we're talking specifically about new vehicle sales for March, tell us? Do they paint an optimistic picture, or is it looking a bit gloomy?
Gee whiz, it's extremely gloomy. Sure. And I think it's extremely gloomy. And I think, in all the vehicle manufacturers in South Africa have something to really, really worry about. I mean, the entire market sales keeps falling, and it's not just even, in terms of market sales, it's also exports. So that is something, which is completely worrisome. I think, with the total market sales falling to 11.7%, so that's a bit worrisome. And it's the eighth consecutive month now, Gook. So there is something that is happening, and hopefully it can change somehow. But yeah, they keep falling. I mean, we see essentially from in January 2024, there was 41,636 vehicles sold. And right now in March, we're sitting at 44,000. So that's essentially about 2,000 vehicles decline, if we put it into, normal numbers. So that is something to worry about. So yeah, I think, just pre-owned sales are probably doing quite better, because it's just they're cheaper, and people are getting a lot of value for their money in terms of value for money in those pre-owned cars. And the Chinese probably aren't making things easier either. And I mean, even when you look at the vehicles that that did quite well, it's, GWM, Chery, all in the top 10. And you see, even a worrisome for Ford as well. So it is a bit worrisome for every brand, really. And I think if it's not for the likes of Toyota and VW Group, and I think it's most of those rentals and most of those fleet companies, obviously, when you do look at the individual sales, it's a bit of a worrisome.
Mm. And you said, so this decline is the eighth straight, in terms month to month, it's the eighth one.
Correct.
And what happened? So this means the last time there would have been any kind of improvement would have been in August of last year. Do we know what happened 8 months ago? Is this the kind of trend we see every year, where perhaps there is a little bit of a boost in the third quarter of the year, and then towards the end there's a bit of a decline? What would have happened 8 months ago? Do we know?
So I think the issue might essentially just be, there's quite a lot of things that are on the rise, groups, and people are just not earning that much anymore. And I think there's been quite a lot of research and reviews being done about, how worthy the pre-owned cars are now. And I think people are finally understanding how much, value you're getting out of pre-owned cars. And that might essentially be that decline. There hasn't been some data provided fully, which will show us why exactly it keeps declining, especially from August till now. But I think people are really starting to understand, the value in those pre-owned cars, really. And when you look at, I think there was, I stand to be corrected, over, I think, 150 vehicle sales, which were only pre-owned. And other than that, the other, I think, less than 100 were essentially brand new cars. So you do start to realize that maybe the consumer is starting to do more research, and the consumer is starting to, trying to save more money and seeing value in that pre-owned car. But I will definitely bring up some of the stats when I do come back again next week. But for me, I think there is a lot of value in buying a pre-owned car. And as much as, it boosts the economy in terms of new car sales and the entire chain, but yeah, I think cars are just really, really starting to get expensive now, and it's not attainable to just anybody now. And I'm starting to really, really know.
So even though the numbers aren't looking great, it's this eighth straight month of decline. Some brands have, they have something to celebrate. In general, the sector isn't looking great, but some brands are doing quite well for themselves in terms of the ones that are at the top. Tell us about who is where.
So, I mean, obviously, the number one sales or seller in South Africa, Toyota, being at the top with a staggering 11,000 units. And I think that will never decline. People do love the Toyota brand in South Africa, and even their exports do great in, for the rest of the world. When you look at what number one in the difference between the first, which is Toyota, and the second, which is the VW Group, and this is 11,109 units for Toyota and 5,219 units for the VW Group. So that difference is, that's night and day, essentially. So I think for me, that is just worrisome. And when you look at the VW Group, it's even more worrisome because that includes the Audi. So it's Volkswagen and Audi products, which sold 5,200 units. For me, I think Suzuki needs to be extremely proud of themselves because they are just right behind on the VW Group's heels with 4,335 sales. So that is essentially quite, when you look at Volkswagen as a brand and Audi as a brand, you would think that they would be campaigning almost with Toyota and, running towards maybe 10,000 sales or 9,000 sales at least. But 5,000 sales for that group is very worrisome for me when you look at now, the Suzuki brand coming in at 4,000 sales. But I do think that for me, the likes of Isuzu and Nissan did really, really well. I mean, trumping Ford. Ford is sitting at sixth, and we've always been seeing, Toyota, VW, Ford, or Suzuki. So, and right now, you look at Nissan and Isuzu selling almost 4,000 units. I mean, altogether, it's almost 6,000 units together combined. Hyundai also did quite well with 2,436 units, and we hardly see Hyundai in the top of this, in the top 10 of these brands, really. So it was quite, interesting to see that Hyundai sold more than the GWM brand and also sold more than the Chery brand, with Reynolds just sneaking in the top 10, with 1,301 units. But for me, the VW Group definitely needs to look at something, especially when you look at the fact that they're combining the Audi sales as well, goods. So it does tell you that are people still really buying those, the German, the German brand, and that luxury, premium brands, if you can put it like that, because it is that gets really, really awesome, because VW Group is the only premium brand that's up there, if you think about it.
Yeah. And it's quite interesting. There's been a discussion for some time now about whether Suzuki could potentially become number two. And at the moment, Suzuki, just looking at these March numbers, is only, 900 units away because of just how, they've been able to, kind of offer certainly cheaper options. I think you can get a Suzuki vehicle for under 300,000 Rand. Whereas I don't know if the VW Group has a vehicle under that. I think the Polo as an entry, just without any bells and whistles, you're looking at about 350,000 for that, whereas Suzuki is now able to offer you a car for under 300,000, which used to be the Polo, many moons ago.
Correct. So with the Suzuki brand, you can get a car for under 160,000 Rand goods, actually.
Oh, wow.
So you can either get the Suzuki Espresso or the Suzuki Celerio, which is under 200,000 Rand, let me put it that way. And whereas with the Volkswagen Group, with VW, you can get a Polo Vivo, and that's even over 200,000 Rand starting price. So you do see that gap, essentially, and where people are just like, I'd rather just get a Suzuki. And even when you look at the Polo equivalent of it, you can't even say Polo equivalent, because you look at a Suzuki Swift, and that's also just under 300,000 Rand, and you get almost all the bells and whistles that you want in a car. And at the Polo Marquis, you start only at 300,000 Rand for a well-specced Polo. So now this goes back to show, and the conversation I started with that, people are starting to look at, listen, if I want a Polo, I'd rather not buy a brand new Polo, because when I spec that Polo, it's essentially going to come towards 400,000-500,000 Rand. Mm. So maybe let me get a pre-owned Polo that Kumbi had bought earlier on, and he spec'd everything that he wanted to put on. But now, because of his 20,000 mileage he's put on, I can get it for now maybe 300,000 Rand. So that's where people now then dip towards that entire, let me just get this pre-owned car. Or On the other hand, let me just get a Suzuki Grand Vitara for that 300,000 Rand. I'm in a essentially raised car. I mean, essentially an SUV, and you know, I can see better, I can ride better, you know, I can save fuel, etc., and I can still have value on my car. And it's brand new still. So let me get the Suzuki. I mean, Suzuki has been doing over 5,000 units the past 2 months, goods. So you can just see that it's quite tough for that Volkswagen group. Mm. And I do see it maybe those two brands swapping places, maybe towards the latter part of the year.
Yeah.
But I do see it happen very soon.
Which of the Toyota vehicles do we know are making up that 11,000 units a month? Because, I mean, the gap between Toyota, who are at number one, VW, who are at number two, is almost 6,000 vehicles.
Right.
What is driving those quite impressive sales for Toyota? Is it passenger vehicles, you know, people buying a car to take the kids to school, to drive to work? Is it, like you were saying, you know, in some instances, companies building a fleet? Do we know what is behind or which brands are lifting those Toyota numbers?
So 4,000 of those units were light commercial vehicles. So 4,352 of those 11,000 were light commercial vehicles. So essentially, we're looking at, you know, maybe Hino, which is some of the trucks, and, you know, literally, you know, this small... some of their buckies as well, essentially. So they're making up most of their numbers, essentially. And then when you look at even the likes of the Toyota Corolla Cross, we know that that's one of their best sellers currently. Even the Fortuners, and you look at even the Toyota Hiace, which was better known as the Quantum before they changed the name. So those are what we see also doing great for Toyota, although obviously this is just a slight decrease in that number, about 3% decrease, but I do still think they're doing really, really, really great in those cars.
It's quite interesting to see the Chinese brands. I mean, we've spoken about them in this show about just the inroads they've managed to make in the South African market, especially because of the offerings. You're able to get a pretty nice car with all the bells and whistles, you know, a leather interior. Maybe you'll get, you know, a sunroof, etc., but without having to pay R1 million, for instance. But their numbers aren't that particularly great. I guess maybe that is the question. Are those numbers good? GWM at 1,564, Chery at 1,531, certainly doing better than Renault at 1,301. Yeah. Are those pretty good? Do those signal, you know, that the Chinese brands are doing something in a very tough market?
So for me personally, I do think that, and I believe in the saying that biggie, biggie, mak mia. So I think that they're doing extremely great to be in the top 10 of these brands. I mean, think about it. There isn't a Mercedes-Benz in there. There isn't a BMW in there. And like we mentioned, VW and Audi are combined in there. Mm-hmm. You know, there isn't. So for me personally, they're doing extremely well. I mean, 1,500 people buying a GWM and a Chery every month. Should they do this every month, Googs? I mean, they can essentially sell over 12,000 units a year. And that's amazing for them, essentially.
Sure.
That just shows you that, you know, they're keeping making inroads every month, really. So I think consistency for them is what matters. I mean, I recently drove the GWM Tank 300, and for them, they said we want to sell 2,000 units a year. So for them, when they sell 1,500 units a month consistently, I think that would definitely work, albeit not that specific model. But I mean, I'm just trying to show you, you know, just where they are sitting at. You know, exactly. So I think both those brands, those Chinese brands being in the top 10, you know, trying to break in. I mean, look at the Renault brand. Renault is sitting at 1,300. And so that is a bit worrisome for Renault. And I think Renault just had a huge spike the previous month, because usually it's not even in the top 10. Whereas those two brands are always in that in the top 10. So I think for me, biggie, biggie, mak mia, they're doing extremely well, being just in the top 10, selling over 1,000 units.
Yeah. Let's talk about a vehicle from the number 7 on the list, because, of course, Ford is number 7 in terms of vehicle sales for March. You recently got to drive the Everest, but is it the Platinum edition? Tell us about it.
So, because I've been living with this car for the past 3 months, and recently just took it for service, and I was just really, really impressed at the overall, I think when you spend time with the car for a longer period of time, that's when you can actually get to report properly on it now. And because, I mean, sometimes a week is just not enough. You know what I mean? I mean, you can spend a car 7 days with the car and, you know, nothing can go wrong. But, you know, in the space of a month, then, you know, everything can, you know, go wrong. Then you start to see, okay, fine. As a consumer, if I bought this car in the long term, this would go wrong in X amount of kilometers, etc. But luckily for me, 5,000 Ks done so far and I haven't had any issues. I think the one thing that I've really established in this car is that it's not as fuel efficient. It's really, really thirsty for that V6 engine. And I mean, obviously it's a 3-liter V6 engine, so the displacement is big and it should be thirsty. But I'm not seeing anything as the quoted numbers of 10 liters per 100 kilometers. I'm still in the 12 liters per 100, that average consumption, which is a bit of a worrisome, especially for my pocket. I've actually had to start a YouTube community, you know, where people can just fund some money for me for fuel, because wow, this thing is thirsty googs. And I mean, when you go to the farm, it's been perfect. You know, those 21-inch alloys, you'd think that, you know, as much as they are, you know, low-profile tires meant for the cities, they do really great on off-roading as well. But I think just the overall premium of the car, and this is where you notice that, and Ford say that, they don't compete with the Toyota Fortuna anymore. They compete with the likes of the Toyota Prado. And you can see it in terms of that, you know, just that, you know, level of comfort and level of, you know, precision and premium in that car. So I've been really, really enjoying that car. Just, geez, that 3-liter V6 is it's not meant really. It's not one for, you know, day-to-day driving. I mean, depending on your pocket. I mean, it's 1.2 million. So people are going to be buying those cars. I don't think really worry about the diesel consumption. But personally for me, it's a bit of a, yeah.
1.2 million. Car manufacturers are not shy, hey? They're just asking for whatever. How much is this car? 3 million. What? Why? What? How? And the thing is, I think two million rand cars used to be, you know, they were quite a rarity. But now I think, you know, we had a conversation on the show about how the hatchback has become a million rand car. So no surprises that a premium SUV from a brand like Ford, I'm actually surprised it's not a little bit more, but 1.2 is not cheap.
That's correct. It's definitely not cheap. And hence, you know, my justification in terms of fuel, saying, you know what, if you're going to be going out to buy the car, then fuel is the last thing on your mind, really. But I do think that 1.2 million rand price tag for that car is extremely justified, especially when you look at, you know, the Prado competitor or the other competitors in terms of what they offer and what you're getting. I mean, you're not putting any option on that car. What you get, for that price, that's everything you are getting on the car. You know, you don't have to be taking any option from the panoramic sunroof. You've got heated seats all around in the car. You've got a heated steering wheel. You know, you've got just a really nice driving car. It's like, you know, you're wafting on air, really. That suspension is really, really comfortable. You know, those premium Napa leather seats, that Bang & Olufsen sound system. If it was at any other brand, you are literally now having to take options. And I think the comparison that I did, a friend of mine wants to buy a Volkswagen Tiguan, and that's almost 900,000 rand. And he needs to take some options, putting it at almost 1.2 million rand. And I said, geez, man, that's such a small car when you look at the Everest. Why didn't you just get the Ford Everest Platinum? And now he's considering it because of everything that you're getting in that car. So I think cars have just become really, really expensive now. And I mean, whenever you look at a starting price of a car, it's a million rand.
We just need to go back to riding horses. Forget the car thing. Abolish that whole thing. It's just not working. We tried and it obviously didn't work.
We just need to
horses, carriages, donkeys. Cars are obviously, they're not for us. Before you go, Kumbi, we received a WhatsApp voice note on 0727021702.
Hello, 702. This is Craig from Northcliffe. I have no sympathy with the motor industry. The price of motor vehicles is ridiculous. They're way overpriced. So I have no sympathy with the new motor vehicle industry. It is ridiculously overpriced. Craig from Northcliffe. And that is their own fault. It's pure corporate greed.
Thank you very much for that message, Craig. Kumbi, your thoughts before we go?
Craig does sound really, really upset. But I mean, cars have just really became so expensive now. So Yeah, it is tough. But I mean, also, you need to understand that that also impacts us somehow in the longer run. The more vehicle industry will impact every other industry because those people are going to lose their jobs, etc. It's like an entire domino effect, really. So as much as he's upset, it might affect somebody that he really cares for as well.
Times ahead. Kumbi, as always, it's good to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me, Googs.
Before you go, when is your race?
My race is on the 13th, so 13th of April at Kyalami. I hope to see you guys all there.
Okay, I just remembered it was coming up quite soon. Okay, all right. Thank you. I will diarize it.
Thank you.
That's our resident motoring enthusiast, Kumbi Mchakazi.